In this episode, I talk about why you might want to try bridleless riding and how to get started. So here we go, episode 270, Bridleless. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hello, beautiful podcast listeners. Today we are going to be talking about bridleless riding. Yay! And I'm really hoping that my tone of voice is coming through as cheerfully and calmly as normal, even though I just spent a half an hour wrestling with my microphone. Okay, maybe some slight annoyed tone is coming through. It's the same microphone with the same setup, plugged into the same computer in exactly the same place in my house. And, you know, it decided not to work. I think when, when I'm with horses, you kind of expect things to not go as planned. You expect there to be fluctuations in performance. But when it comes to inanimate objects, they really should just work, I think. Anywho, it seems like it's working now. So this is a beautiful thing. Okay, switching gears. Bridleless riding. Earlier this year, probably many of you have seen the videos coming out of the UK from a bridleless competition that they did, and it was so inspiring and made me so happy to see this. So they had dressage and they had jumping, and they probably had other things that I'm not remembering right now, but that was the gist of it. And it's just so cool that they did that, that they showed it could be done safely. They showed that you can have measurable results. They showed that it could be done in a competition atmosphere. And that's really, really cool. And I know a lot of people have sort of, have been inspired and have renewed their, like, oh yeah, I always wanted to do bridleless. And it's possible. It's possible for everybody to do bridleless, but you don't want to just go in and like rip the bridle off and see what happens. There are steps. And I think, you know, people can argue the pros and cons of bridleless competition. And I'm sure that people have, because, you know, that's what people do. And it's good to look at things and go, is this something we want to do? Is this something we not want to do? And I think sometimes there are qualities that can easily be judged in the exact same way when wearing a bridle, like show jumping, for example, right? The horse made it over the jump or they knocked a rail down. It doesn't matter what's on their head. You can judge that exactly the same. Probably dressage is going to have to catch up a little bit to how to judge bridleless, because they are, you know, the dressage world is struggling just with bitless, right? So bridleless is a big leap, and so much of it is about the connection and the contact. And, you know, we can debate those finer points. To me, it's okay, whatever. You know, you judge the bridleless altogether. That's fine. It doesn't take away anything from the activity. So whether or not the competition world ever fully embraces or understands how to assess bridleless riding, it doesn't matter. It's still incredibly valuable to do. And I think everybody who rides, I hope that they get to experience an awesome bridleless moment with their horse. I can't imagine there being any horse lover who hasn't dreamed of riding bridleless. You know, I think it feels so amazing to ride a horse, like in, I do dressage, so in connection and in collection with that power and that fine-tuned, refined communication. Like, that's amazing. And there is something so amazing that happens when you're on a horse and there's nothing on his head. There's no reins to give you the illusion of control. And I say illusion because, well, I've been taken off with a few times in my life, more than a few times in my life. One of them was quite scary. In all those cases, I had reins. There was something on the horse's head. So I think to remember that control is something that the horse gives us the ability to do, which is a kind of a weird way to think about control. Control is usually something we think of that we do to the horse to get them to do what we want them to. But control is really something the horse gives us the ability to do. They decide to allow us to control them. Now, of course, we can picture extreme examples on the sort of violent end of the spectrum. I always have to remember that that exists out there. But let's just say in the normal in the normal realm of riding, control is something the horse gives us the ability to do. So anyone who has ever ridden a horse who has fully committed to their own idea that's different than ours knows that we really don't have much control over them. Who here has ridden a horse that just stops and will not go? Who has ridden a horse that will go and just not stop or just not steer or whatever it is? Sometimes they just really want to throw their heads down and get that piece of grass. Like, if they really want to, they can do it. They really can. So, you know, with saying that, reins and a bit or noseband or whatever can really help a lot with guiding a horse who isn't quite sure what to do or where to go, or is kind of going a little too fast and you just want to kind of ask him to go a little slower, or a horse is kind of veering off and you want to be able to just, you know, kind of block that shoulder and guide them back in. Or if they kind of have a preference to do something other than what we're doing, but the reins can, you know, just make it easier for us to do our idea. And most of the time, most horses go, okay. So reins are also great tools for clearly explaining refined communication about where we would like the horse's neck to be. So reins do come in handy. And they do work and they do help us. Reins are great tools to feel the whole body. And so I teach my students that there's only three purposes of the reins. One is for precise communication about the exact position of the head and neck, right? Reins are a great tool to do that. The second purpose of the reins is to feel the body. You're going to get information about the whole body when the reins are there differently than when the reins are not there, for sure. And that can be helpful. And the reins are there. Another purpose of the reins is to create this all-is-one connection, right? There's no floppy bits. When you're riding bridleless, there's a little floppy bit. There's our hands at the end of our our floppy arms. And then the horse's neck is out there. So the most flexible part of the neck of the horse, their neck, and the most sort of flexible and nimble part of us, well, they're all floating in the breeze. Now, there's a beauty to that, but there's also a beauty to when you sort of complete that circuit and you can connect your hands with the horse's head. When it's done beautifully, it is quite intimate and quite amazing feeling. Okay, so those are the purposes of the reins. And still, there is something really special when you take the reins off. There's something about that decision. that decision to trust, that feeling of confidence in your horse and your abilities. It can be quite an emotional moment, and I think it should be. And that feeling alone is worth it. It can take the relationship to a whole new level. There's a different kind of appreciation for your horse in that moment. To know he has more freedom and he still chose to be with you. Of course, I'm describing the moments that go well, but in my experience, bridleless moments tend to go better than we expect. Because most of us won't go bridleless unless we are very, very confident that we're prepared. It keeps us honest. That and bareback, which is also amazing if your horse is comfortable doing it. Bareback and bridleless, that's a pretty cool feeling. Pro tip, if you want to start to ride bareback and bridleless, do one or the other, but not both at the same time at first. You'll know when you're ready to do them both at the same time. So I grew up riding bareback and bridleless and often backwards. I had the beauty of when I was a kid, like 7 years old, my mom had a horse for a year or so, and we rented this little property at the end of our street, and she used to just send me down there and like, okay, you go get Bart ready, and I don't know if she knew what I was doing, but I was on him a lot, bareback, bridleless, out in the pasture, just doing all kinds of silly stuff, and luckily I survived. But that was my sort of natural state with horses. And then I went a couple decades without doing bareback or bridleless. You know, I was busy being professional. And I was so excited when I started to do it again. And I felt like I could. I was taking some lessons. I was studying natural horsemanship. So then it was like a technique. It was a thing. It was part of this educational program. And on the inside, I was just as tickled as could be because I felt like, oh, I'm practicing this very important technique. And on the inside, I was like, wee-hee, I get to ride bareback and bridleless. I remember the first clinic that I did for natural horsemanship was with David Lichtman, and I had my horse Bubba, who's a Grand Prix horse, but you know he was pretty shut down at the time, and which is why I was going to this clinic, just to do some fun silly stuff with him. And by the end of the, I think it was like a 3-day clinic I was there for, he had us all riding around bridleless. And I was just so lost in the moment. So were there, you know, people are walking and trotting, and then some of us were cantering, and I just was cantering. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like cantering this horse bridleless, and he was just perfect. And I'm going around and around, and I was so just amused with myself and my horse that I guess I didn't hear when David had asked everybody to stop. So I was just in my little bubble, and I'm cantering around and cantering around. Then I start hearing him calling my name. So I look up, and he's like telling me different things to do with my hands. He's like, well, lift your hands and sit back. And so I was like, okay, let me lift. I think I had a neck rope on, right? So I'm like lifting the neck rope, and then I'm sitting back, and I'm doing these things. I'm like, that's really weird. Why is he, you know, telling me to do these things? And I'm doing all these things, and Vivaldi, Bubba, just kept cantering along because I didn't realize he had actually told people to stop. I guess I didn't notice that I was the only one cantering at this moment. And he had a beautiful collected canter, bridleless. And so it took a while. I went around a few more times, and I looked at him. I went, oh, you want me to stop? And then we just stopped. So it was a really interesting demonstration of how what I talked about this on the podcast, and I've written blogs about this, like the intention matters. You know, your horses are reading body language and intention. And my intention was so strong, and Vivaldi was so sure. She's like, Karen definitely wants to be cantering around. She's very jolly up there. It didn't matter if I lifted the neck rope or twirled my stick or sat back or whatever. If I wasn't thinking, I am doing this so that you stop, he just kept going. Anyway, so that was my entrance back into bridleless riding. So I was very lucky because he was just a lovely, lovely horse. And I got my sea legs back. And that helped me later with the next horse, Monty, who was very squirrely and famous for getting people off of him. He had this ability to, Monty did, to go along and in any moment he could take his head, pull it inside his body, and have it come out the other side of him, the other end of him somehow. He could turn around in a heartbeat and leave the rider sitting on the floor going, what just happened? Anyway, by the time I was riding him, bareback and bridleless, I had been all warmed up by Bubba. Okay, so how do you start bridleless riding? Well, one way is to go to the video classroom. I have a whole category called bridleless. So dressagenaturally.net/classroom. That's always going to be your first go-to resource for any question you have about things that I talk about on this podcast. Oh, and if you're listening to this at the time I release this podcast, you can join a live call that I'm doing just for classroom members about bridleless riding on August 12th. So there you have it. So again, take a peek at the videos. We've got like 10 or so videos totally dedicated to bridleless. And yeah, go check them out. And then join us on the live call. Okay. A couple important points before you get going. You know, don't just go down and go, oh, Karen said go bridleless. Let's rip the bridle off and just see what happens. Before you do that, as you're riding around normally, just kind of keep track of what you're using your reins for. All right, so remember what I said the purpose of the reins was for, and then notice what you actually are using the reins for. And knowing that the reins can support many systems. They can support your turning system, your stopping system. They're part of refined communication, but they're not the main aid for very many things at all. Right? So review the three purposes of the reins that I mentioned earlier. Your seat, your focus, your intention is a strong, strong aid. That's what you want your horse to be listening to. So when you're riding around with your reins, just notice and make sure you're not overusing them. Make sure it's not your first go-to. Make sure there's a little moment between your intention and your seat and body language, and then when you use your reins to go, hey, let me help you with this. The other thing to remember is that you can ride without the reins even when the reins are there on the bridle. And practice using self-control to not pick them up. And that's a lot harder for English riders and dressage riders especially, who have been taught to keep shortening their reins, and that connection is often a big part of the riding experience. But what I found is that some students will be overusing their reins, not really conscious about what their hands are doing, and then they just take the bridle off. Like, whoa, wait a minute, we need a little better entrance into bridleless. So now, I do think it's hard to use self-control to not use the reins when the reins are there. Taking off the reins is kind of a surefire way to break the habit, but just give yourself a little thoughtful moment of riding with the reins attached, conscious of how you're using them, and see if you can put them down on the neck. You can start with just making sure there's a loop in the reins, that they're loose reins. You can ride with short reins, but just make sure they're loose reins. And then you can gradually make the reins looser and looser. And then you can dare to put them down on the buckle, on the withers. And then, you know, go from there. So just, you're going to get a lot of information just by noticing how you're using the reins already. And now there are also specific exercises that I do with horses that will give me more confidence to take the bridle off. And they will literally help you measure success. And so doing exercises where the horse can learn them. They're actually using their mind and they're going, oh, I know where I'm supposed to go. So practice that when you have the reins. If you want to help teach it to them, things like following the rail, going corner to corner, practicing stopping and doing yields in the corners, circling between markers, riding from a specific point to a specific point. Like, see if you can train those patterns to your horse so they go, oh, okay, this is the part where we circle between the cones. Oh, this is the thing where I stay on the long side or I stay on the rail all the way to the corner and then I stop. You know, so help train your horse so that he knows, he recognizes what's about to happen, and then they can help you. He's like, you when you train those exercises well, you can get to a point where you could, like, I don't know, you could knit a sweater up there and they're going to stay on the pattern. So that can be a really great way to start going into bridleless riding, because your horse isn't just like, woo, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And then all of a sudden you don't have as many tools to tell him what to do if you just took the bridle off. By doing some of these patterns, then you could start the pattern and your horse is like, oh, I got it. I'm staying on a circle between the cones. And you can practice just being bridleless and the experiencing the feeling of your horse knowing, your horse telling you, oh, I know what to do. And then you go along. So I find that incredibly valuable. It's valuable even if you never take the bridle off, but it sure makes it easier to go ahead and do that. So that's a huge, huge piece. And I've got videos on that. If you want to go see some of these patterns and see how I start it, I show you. And I even teach some people who are doing it for the first time in one of the videos. So you can see that. So all of those types of exercises will really help you know for sure how good your communication is and how cooperative your horse is being in that moment. That's definitely a piece that I see a lot of people miss. I mean, they kind of miss those exercises in general, but especially these kind of exercises where the horse is actively participating and being helpful the horse is confident about where to go can be such a nice bridge into being able to ride anywhere and do anything bridleless. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1-week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. Even just thinking about going bridleless is helpful. I often ask students, if your bridle fell off during this ride, what would you worry would go wrong? What would you be scared might happen? And whatever they answer, we can play to improve that. And improving that will help everything. Even if they never go bridleless, we just got really specific about a place of held tension or worry. So ask yourself, what might you be worried will go wrong if the bridle fell off? So think about riding bridleless and ask yourself that question often. What might go wrong if the bridle fell off right now? And if you play to resolve those issues or improve them, it'll be so, so helpful. Small changes and improvements in riding without reins always helps everything. I mean, every time. And so if you practice like that, soon you're probably going to start thinking, I might be ready to go bridleless. And then when you start getting to that point, then every day that you go to your horse, you think, maybe today I'm going to take the bridle off. And then you don't if it doesn't feel right. Or you do when it does. Maybe it starts at just the end of a ride. You take the bridle off and just sit on your horse for a bit. Let him graze. Or do a nice quiet walk around the arena. Or just try a few yields. See how it feels. And if you really feel scared, don't do it. Just approach, retreat, prepare, and play. All right, well, I'm excited to see what happens. Good luck out there. Have fun. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.